No, it's fucked.
You starting out with Destiny?
Let's all stand and turn to number 43 in the songbook this morning. Number 43. E flat. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I will wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Amen. You may be seated.
Let me get this in real quick. I didn't do it last night.
There will be, I got a loud mouth without that, so there will be a set of DVDs. And DVDs and CDs for the meeting for $20. We're running them now as the conference goes along. They're being run. I'll probably mention it again tonight, but I did want to mention it once this morning because I didn't do it last night. But there will be a whole set of the DVDs for the conference. They'll be here at $20 when we get them all done. And hopefully everything will come through good so far. Everything's run good. And then we've got Brother Tyler will be coming up next and his message with Lucifer's Fall. Hope you enjoyed the donuts. You didn't eat too many to put you to sleep, did you? Now the children may just get geared up. But anyway, we got a special. Barb's going to sing a special for us this morning. And then Brother Tyler, when she gets done, you come on.
There it goes. Good morning. Good to be here this morning. I want to thank Perry and the Saints of Royal Grace Bible Church for having me here with you this morning. We were here 2 years ago. That was my first time ever coming to North Carolina, and we made the mistake of driving all night to get here, so we didn't get to see any of the mountains and the scenery on the way here then. Well, we got to see it this time, and it's beautiful. It's truly breathtaking to look at God's creation and how beautiful it really is. So it's great to be here. This morning, what we're going to look at is Lucifer's fall. Specifically, what I want to try to do is look at Lucifer, Satan, in his created state that God created him to be in, and why he fell from that state, and then his eventual doom or impending doom in hell and the lake of fire. That's going to be his end result. So that's what we're going to try to do this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. Pray this morning that we could just be edified, understand our enemy and why he fell, and where he's going. Thank you for these saints, and just pray that your word would be clear. Preach clear, and that we can understand it. Thank you most of all for our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So first, let's turn to John chapter 8. I want to look at a couple verses. Before we start to look at Lucifer and his creation, we're going to look at a couple verses. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You all probably know this verse. John chapter 8. You know, some people get the idea that Lucifer or Satan is this mystical, fake-type creature that doesn't really exist. But he's a real individual. He's a real individual that causes real turmoil and problems, and he's against God. And that's how we know him. Let's look at this statement here by Jesus Christ in John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. It's interesting. Christ, he makes the statement, ye are of your father, the devil. You know, we would think that's a mean thing to say, but he calls it like it is. He says, you're just like your daddy, Satan. That's what he says to him. And they were. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Notice, there's no truth in him. So that's typically how we think about Lucifer. That's how we think about Satan and his fallen state as the adversary of God. At least that's how I think about him. And this statement by Jesus Christ is clear. He recognizes the devil, Satan, as a real individual. It's not just some evil representation of your inner self. He's a real individual who causes real problems. And we know that. We understand that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. Notice the name here, Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. We're going to come back here later, but I just want you to notice his names here as the adversary of God. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out. Now, this is going to be, we'll see this later. This is going to be in the middle of the tribulation. He's going to be cast out, officially cast out onto the earth. And notice what it says. The great dragon was cast out. Now, who's the great dragon? That old serpent called the devil. We just read the devil in John 8:44. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So that's how we know him, as the devil. Notice it says the old serpent. Back in Genesis 3, he was just the serpent. Now, in the middle of the tribulation, he's the old serpent. He's been around a long time. He's been around a while. By the time you get to the end of the trib, he's the old serpent. Or the middle of the trib, he's the old serpent. So that's how we think about Satan. At least that's how I think about him. And but was there a time in the Bible where before he was the adversary of God? And it's evident that there was. God created him to be in a specific position. God didn't create Satan to be this adversary. He created him to have a different position. So let's look at that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. We're going to go to Isaiah 14, and then we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 28. But it's important to remember that Satan's a real creature. He's a real creature that causes real problems. Isaiah chapter 14. And this is an interesting passage. You are familiar with it. It starts out in verse 1, and we're just going to get his name here, really. Verse 1, Isaiah 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for the servants and the handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. What this passage is referring to is a time in the kingdom. And when they go back in their land, and verse 1 is in the kingdom. You notice verse 5, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. So at this time, what it's referring to is a time when Satan is finally put in hell. We're going to see that later. And what it's doing is it's looking back at Lucifer, and it's quite fascinating. It's actually it's mocking Lucifer. And they're in the kingdom, and they're looking back at Lucifer, and they're saying, "Here was you." Here was your great wise plan, what you said you were going to do, but here's what actually happened. And it's quite funny, actually. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Notice his name. So we read over in Revelation 12, he had the name of Satan, the dragon, the serpent, the old serpent. here his name isn't that. His name is Lucifer, son of the morning. So before he became the adversary of God, who hates God, is the father of lies, he there's no truth in him. He's a murderer. Before that, he was Lucifer, son of the morning. It says, "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" And then it goes through his wise master plan that in the end doesn't work out. We're going to come back here, and we're going to talk about his plan here in a little bit. But let's look at Lucifer and his creation, and his created position. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1. "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus." So he's addressing this prince of Tyrus, okay? And from verses 1 to verse 10, he addresses this prince of Tyrus. And then from verses 12 on down, he addresses the king of Tyrus. And it's interesting, verses 1 to 10, what that is it's looking at the it's prophecy about in the tribulation, okay? And it's looking at Antichrist in his first half of the trib, when he's the man of sin. And then in the last half, when he's the son of perdition, that's going to be the king of Tyrus later on down in verse 12. So let's just look at verse 2. "Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God." So this man of sin, who's going to be the Antichrist, He sets his heart as the heart of God. Notice it's big G. He believes in his heart that he's God. That's what he's making this proclamation, that he's God. Verse 3, "Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee." Do you remember what Daniel did? Do you remember what Daniel did when there was a something that Daniel needed to reveal? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted to know the interpretation. So what did Daniel do? He said, "My God will reveal it." He said, and he went and he prayed, and he asked God to reveal it for him, didn't he? Well, this guy, he's wiser than Daniel. What this guy thinks is that he doesn't need to pray to anybody to get any information. He says, "I'm wiser than Daniel. I don't need God to reveal anything." He believes he is God. It's blasphemy. "With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. And thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches." You notice verse, he believes he's God. Verse number 9. "Will thou yet say before him that slayeth thee?" In the middle of the trib, this man of sin, he's killed. He dies. And he's resurrected by Satan. We're going to see. It's going to describe who it is. But notice what it says. "Will thou say before them that slayeth thee, I am God?" So what he's asking is, you that you think you're saying you're God, when you're being killed, are you going to still make that claim that you're God? You can't very well do that, can you? Verse number 12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus." Now notice he's addressing the king of Tyrus. and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So what he's going to do is he's going to talk about who the son of perdition really is. In the last half of the tribulation, Satan, we read in Revelation chapter 12, he's cast to the earth. He's cast out of heaven. There's a great war in heaven. We're going to see that in a little bit. He's cast to the earth. And what he does is he resurrects the body of that man of sin. And what Ezekiel 28 is going to do is it's going to describe Lucifer in his creation, his created position that God created him to be in. Let's look what it says. Verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, perfect, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He has this declaration about him that he sealest up the sum. What that means is nothing needed to be added to him. He's perfect, complete, it says perfect in beauty. When you seal up the sum, you're it. Nothing needs to be added. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. This is interesting. He has this beautiful covering of precious stones, and this is how God made him. And it goes through to list the stones: the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. He has this beautiful covering of precious stones and diamonds, literally built into his covering. I did this. You can Google those stones. There's nine of them there, and each one's a little bit different. Each one has a different color and a different chemical makeup to each of them. But what's interesting, we're not going to go there for time's sake. What's interesting is it would be similar if you look back at the breastplate that the high priest would wear in Exodus 39. The high priest wore this beautiful breastplate, and it had on it 12 stones. He's got nine stones on his. He had 12, each representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's interesting, each one of the stones that's on Satan, Lucifer, and his creations, also on that breastplate that the high priest would have wore. So that gives you an idea of this position that Lucifer had. It was a great position of privilege in the midst of God that he was created in. Notice, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He literally had this insane music ability created in him. He had this beautiful covering. It's crazy. He was, notice it says, verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. I mean, God literally set Lucifer up with this perfect, unique, beautiful position that he set him to be in. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. He literally had the position and privilege of covering the throne of God, and that's the position that God created him to be in. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. That's crazy to me. I can't. When I try to sing, it sounds like a cat dying or something, having a stroke. But Lucifer didn't have that problem at all. He had he had music built into him, and that's how God made him. And you think about that, he was literally, he was to use the way that God made him to praise and worship and give glory and honor to God, the Creator. That was his job. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Notice, we're going to look at this. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So it talks about this. He's literally walked up and down in the midst of these stones of fire. I want to look at that for a minute. What is that? Go to Job chapter 38. Hold your hand in Ezekiel. Go to Job 38. I don't know if cats have strokes or not. They might. Job 38. I've never had anyone tell me that they did, but Job 38, and also get Revelation chapter 4. The stones of fire. And what we're going to understand from this is that Lucifer was put in this great position of privilege in the midst of God. Job 38. Notice what this says. Now, everyone knows what Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Talking about the face of the deep, the face of the waters. Now look what Job 38, verse 30 says. The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. So the face of the deep, obviously, is water. We know that from Genesis chapter 1. But notice it's not just liquid water. It's hidden as with a stone. It's literally like stone. If you have a glass of water with ice in it, the ice, it looks like stone, doesn't it? It doesn't. It's water, but it's frozen water. It looks like stone. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Notice, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So he's looking at this throne and set in heaven. One sat on the throne. Well, who is that? That's God. It's the throne of God. Verse 5. And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. What we're talking about here is God's throne in heaven. Verse 6 is really where I'm going. Verse 6. And before the throne there was, notice, a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So what you have is around God's throne is this frozen water. It's like stone. It's like a sea of glass. And when it talks about, go back to Ezekiel 28, when it talks about the stones of fire, it's talking about literally Lucifer was created in this position in the midst of God's throne, to cover God's throne. And when it says stones of fire, fire in the Bible represents judgment in the Bible. He literally was created in the midst of God's throne, covering God's throne, and he would have witnessed God's judgment and his majesty and his glory, and he would have witnessed his all of creation, the heavenly creation, worshiping him and honoring him. He would have witnessed all that. He would have had an eyewitness view of that. Verse 15, Ezekiel 28, verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Notice, he was perfect in his ways from the day that thou wast created. It wasn't that Lucifer was created as this evil father of lies that hates God and wants to go against God. It wasn't that God was God, perfect and righteous, and Satan was created evil. No, that wasn't it at all. It wasn't that God was yin and Satan was yang. It was Lucifer was created. He was perfect in his ways from the day that he was created. People get the idea that God created Lucifer as evil. He's always been evil. No, that's not the case. He chose to become Satan as we know him today. He chose to do that. He chose to go against God in the created state that God put him in, and he chose to become the adversary of God, and he's going to suffer the consequences for it in the future. We're going to see that. But that's important to remember. Verse 15, notice, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Notice verse 17, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. What Lucifer did was he saw God in his majesty and all that God, his judgment. He literally saw God executing his position as creator of the universe. And he decided, he looked at himself, he looked at his beautiful created state and his wonderful singing voice, and he decided, you know what? Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy brightness, thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He decided, I not only want what God has, his position and throne, but I deserve it. Because look at me. That was his thinking. Let's go back to, hold your hand, we may come back here, I don't know. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. We're going to see in Isaiah 14 is his plan. This master plan that he developed. Isaiah chapter 14. Let's look at verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. So what we have, like we said before, is they're in the kingdom. The whole earth is finally, is the earth at rest today? No, far from it. But what this is talking about is when the earth will be at rest. They break forth, they're literally, it's interesting, the man who caused all the problems, verse 6, is finally put in prison, in hell, we're going to see, and the earth is singing, and what they're going to do is they're going to mock him. They're going to poke, almost poke fun at him. Verse 9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. We looked at this verse last session. Hell is just waiting for him. And then verse 12, how art thou, notice, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? And what he's going to do is, they're going to say, how were you cut down when you had this wise master plan? How is it that happened? It's almost as they're mocking him. They're poking. It would be like, you know, we just had the World Series just happen. And for once, I think I watched maybe just 10, 15 minutes of it. My team wasn't in the World Series, so I wasn't too thrilled to watch it. But it would be, I will say, I wanted the Braves to win because the Astros are a bunch of cheaters. So I wanted the Braves to win, but I didn't really care. But it would be like if the Astros beat up on the Braves all year long, okay? And they talk trash to them all year long, cause them trouble, fighting all year long. And then finally, the Braves, they won the World Series against the Astros. And they're looking at the Astros and saying, I thought you guys were the tough guys. I thought you were better. Now, obviously, it's on a much different scale, but it's that type of idea. Verse 13, for thou hast said, this is his wise master. This is what he had corrupted his mind into thinking was going to happen. Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart. Notice, it was in his heart. He come up with this plan in his heart, and there's five parts to it. And we don't really have time to study each one in detail. We're going to look at a few of them. The first one, I will ascend into heaven. Did he want to do what God's will had for him and his created position? No, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. And that's always where trouble lies. Verse 13, I will ascend into heaven. He wants to be at the highest point of the heavenly government. He wants God's position. That's what he wants. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Notice, he wants his throne above the angelic creation. And it's not just that he wants his throne. Did you ever know somebody that just wants to boss people around? You know people like that, that they get this weird, sick thrill out of just being, just bossing people around, telling people what to do. And that's how Lucifer was. That's what he wanted. He wanted the angelic creation. He wanted people to be under him. It's sick, is what it is. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Like I said, we don't have time to look at each one of those. We're going to look at a few of them. That one that says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. What is that? Well, go with me to... Hold your hand there. Go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter number 1. There's evidently this place where the angels go and they have to give some kind of accountability to God. Job chapter 1, you probably remember this passage. Job chapter 1, verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also with them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And verse 8, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And then it goes on down. But the point is, there's evidently, there's this place in the heavenlies where the angels are required to give some kind of accountability to God. And it's somewhat regular because it happens again in the book of Job. And so go back to Isaiah. So what he means when he says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, he wants to be the guy who the rest of the angels give account to. He wants to have that spot. He wants to be the one who decides what they do. He wants God's position. That's what he wants. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Let's look at that last one. Verse. Go with me to Genesis 14. I think Brother Jordan mentioned it last night. Genesis 14. That phrase, I will be like the Most High. The Most High in the Bible is a title given to God, the creator of heaven and the universe, heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 14, verse number 19. And he blessed them and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Now, here's who the Most High God is. Possessor of heaven and earth. See, Lucifer, he wants to be possessor of heaven and earth. He wants God's throne. He developed this wise master plan that he wants to ascend and he wants God's throne. He wants to usurp God. That's what he decided in his heart. That's what he decided he wanted to do. Now, let's go back. Let's go to Ezekiel again. Hold your hand in Isaiah. We might come back. I don't know. Ezekiel chapter 28. Again. Lucifer was in his created position. He was perfect in his ways. And he saw the glory of God. He saw his majesty. He saw all the angelic creation worshiping. Well, not all the angelic, but he saw individuals worshiping God. He saw God's judgment. He saw he's requiring accountability. And he decided, I want that. That's what I want. That's what I deserve. Verse 15. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Back up at verse 13 at the end. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was what? Created. There's something in the Bible where if you're a creature, if you're created, you don't get to have the glory and honor that the Creator has. You don't deserve that. When somebody that's a created being demands the glory that the Creator has, that's called idolatry. He doesn't deserve the glory that God has because he's a created being. He was created by God. How are you going to look at God when He created you and say, I deserve your spot? That doesn't make any sense. Let's look at this real quick. Romans chapter 1. I have no idea what time we started. Romans chapter 1. Brother Jordan went to Romans chapter 1 last night, and he was talking about the Gentiles, they follow this design. They follow this design, and what it leads to is their foolish hearts darkened. And they what they do is they worship the creature. And notice, we're going to see Lucifer in his fall, he follows that same design. He follows that same pattern. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Did Lucifer in his created position, did he give glory and honor and praise for God for the position that God put him in? Did he do that? No, he didn't. Was he thankful for the position that God placed him in? Did he say, thank you, Lord, praise you, thank you for this position that you... No, he didn't. And when you decide to be unthankful, you know where the focus goes? Me. And that's exactly what happened. And he followed that same pattern that these Gentiles fallen, and verse 21, but became vain in their imaginations. He started to imagine this crazy idea that he could be like the Most High. He started to think up this idea that he could be the one whom all the creation has to give an account to, and it's just vanity. It's just nonsense. It's not reality. He believed a lie is what he did. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20 says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Deceit. He started to imagine by not glorifying God for who he was, not being thankful for who he was, he started to get these vain thoughts, and he started to imagine this evil plan where he could be like the Most High. And you know what it did? It deceived him. It tricked him. Here he was. He thought he could be like the Most High. He's headed right for hell is where he's headed. He's going to suffer the consequences for his choice. Yeah, we're going to have to go back to Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 14. But it's interesting that he follows that same pattern. Isaiah 14, verse 13, the last part, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Notice that. He wants to be in the sides of the north. Where does God say he's going? Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. He wants to be in the sides of the north. God says, you're going to be in the sides of something, all right. You're going to be the sides of hell, the pit. That's where you're going. So let's look at his future. We saw last lesson. Go to Revelation chapter 12 again. We saw in the last session in Matthew 25. Everlasting fire was created for the devil and his angels. Revelation 12, again. Revelation chapter 12. Where we're at here is we're in the middle of the tribulation. The reason you know that is because in verse 6, it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. That's 42 months. That's 3 years. That's the last half of the tribulation. That's the 7-year total tribulation. In the middle of that tribulation, verse 7, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. It's interesting. He has his angels. He got his wish. He partly got his wish. He's got angels under him. And there's going to be this crazy... It's going to be nothing like any war we've heard of or seen out in heaven. Michael and his angels, and they're going to have a war in heaven. Now, who's going to win the war? Verse 8, and prevailed not, that'd be the dragon and his angels, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So at this time, Satan, the war happens in heaven with Michael and his angels. He's cast out. His place is no longer available in heaven. He's cast out. It's as if this is it. He's down on the earth, finally, for good. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come the salvation of our and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You notice verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. It's as if he's like a child that's throwing a temper tantrum. He got cast out to the earth, and rather than say, I'm wrong, you know, you'd think somebody at this point would say, I give, okay? You got me. But he doesn't do that. He has great wrath because he knows his time is short, so he's gonna push it to the limit. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Revelation chapter 20. We're going to wrap it up. Revelation chapter 20. Verse number 1. This is at the end of the tribulation. Satan, he's finally cast into the bottomless pit. And he's bound there 1,000 years. Verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So at the end of the tribulation, the angel is going to come down. He's going to cast Satan in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. During that 1,000-year period is going to be the millennial kingdom. Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So after the 1,000 years is up, he's going to be let out. Let's look at that. Turn the page. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. I mean, he's in hell for 1,000 years. He gets out and he does the same thing. Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, he has the beloved city compassed round about, and notice what happens. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. I mean, here he is, he has the beloved city, the saints surrounded, and fire rains down out of heaven and literally just devours them. Ezekiel 28 says it brought him to ashes. And he's cast into the lake of fire. Finally, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's Satan's impending doom. You know, today in the dispensation of grace, it seems like Satan is winning the battle, doesn't it? It seems like that, but it only seems like that when we look around, when we walk by sight. We know by faith that that's where he's going to end up. There's going to come a day where God, he's going to finally put him away for good. And we know by faith that it's going to happen, without a doubt. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to fret about it. We know Satan's eventual doom, even if he doesn't believe it. Even if he doesn't. So we saw, just to conclude, we saw Satan in his position that God placed him in. He placed him in this position to be this anointed cherub, cover the throne of God. He looked at himself. He saw God in his majesty, and he decided, I want that, and he sinned. God said, God cast him out of the holy mountain of God, and his eventual doom and demise is in the lake of fire. And God is allowing Satan to do what he's doing today so that he can build the body of Christ. But that's not going to last forever. It's going to end eventually. And that will be a great day. All right, let's pray. Father God, we're thankful for your word. I hope